I almost feel like this needs to be another stool Sunday. As we wait for the kids to be dismissed, all right. Again, we're about in the middle of the book of chapter 15 of the book of Romans as we continue going verse by verse through this book. As we stated last week, and been stating all along, chapters 1 through 11 have been the doctrinal portion of the book of Romans, or the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, explaining things that how they should be done within our lives, you know, why we believe what we believe, and even to the point of what we believe. Beginning with verse 12 through verse 13 of chapter 15, Paul gives the practical portion of this letter, taking everything that he taught in verses 1 through 11 and then giving us feet to put on that. And then, as we said last week, the book pretty much could have ended, or the letter could have ended, with verse 13 of chapter 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, when Paul wrote this, he did not specifically write this to be scripture. He wrote this as an instructional letter to a church. This happened to be the church at Rome. And as in many letters, the letters we do today, Karen, you like to write, and you get done with a letter, and you sign it, and then you think, oh, I had more to say. What do you do? Postscript. Most of us know that is P.S. And then you write some more. Well, from chapter 15, verse 14, through the end of the letter, this is kind of, we could consider, Paul's postscript. So his main thoughts is done. As he's closing out, he's thinking, oh, I need to add a couple more things. And that's where he's at. Now, this portion that we're going to look at today, verses 14 through 21, Paul is trying to answer a question that he perceives as coming from this church. Paul neither founded the church at Rome, nor did he ever visit the church at Rome. So this church body was autonomous by itself apart from Paul. Okay, most of the people in the church probably were influenced by other people who were influenced by either Paul or the other apostles, possibly some even by Christ himself. So, but you have a church that is flourishing in the city of Rome. But some might say, well, Paul, who are you? You know, we don't acknowledge you as anybody. Most of us haven't even met you. So why are you writing us this letter telling us all this stuff? And Paul's going to try to maybe clarify that up a little bit here in our passage today. So open up, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. We'll start reading at verse 14 through verse 21. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself am also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you, on some points, as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given to me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has acknowledged through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon this reading of your word. Father, now as we go through and look to explain it, to learn from it, to live by it, Father, we ask for your power and your strength. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, Paul's done. P.S., he says, and concerning you, my brethren. So he's looking at the church at Rome as brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, they have Christ, they have his Spirit. He says, I myself am also convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to admonish one another. I mean, this is not a fledgling church. This is not a church that has just been founded, that does not have any kind of a strong foundation to it. Many of these believers are mature. Many of these believers are living the Christian life like they should. So, and Paul acknowledges that. He says, you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. You're able also to admonish one another. And again, I don't want that to come across as a negative context. You know, we as a church, we come together as a family, and there may be time to time that some of us need correcting. But we need to correct in love. And so many times we see body members just waiting to pounce. I've been that way. I think sometimes maybe I still am that way. Let me just wait on Jerry to mess up. Jerry messes up and I will pounce all over him. If that's our attitude, and I'm not saying, you know, it may not be that bad, but I think you know where I'm going with it. Sometimes we joy in other people's adversities. And I don't know why that is. But when we admonish, we need to admonish in love. Now, how much better would it be, you know, to go up and, Jerry, I saw you doing 75 miles an hour down Schaefer Street. I think that's your street, isn't it? Okay. I seen you going 75 miles an hour down Schaefer Street. That's awful, Jerry. Do you know what kind of example you are for doing that, Jerry? Hey, people see you. They know you come to this church. That's horrible. Jerry lost his hearing right about Jerry. Yeah. How much better is it in that, in coming and saying, you know, Jerry, I love you, brother. Brian's coming to you because my little son Jackson, he saw you speeding down your street. And as his head almost, his neck almost broke from trying to follow the car, he looked at me and said, wow, Dad, I want to go that fast too. can we think about Jackson, Jerry? Can we think, is that not, I can guarantee you Jerry heard my words up until the whole thing at that point. Still may not like it. He might like going 75 miles an hour in his truck. But at least you'd get a better chance of somebody understanding you. So this church was fully equipped in their love for one another, in their knowledge of the Scripture. And so, again, they're wondering, well, why is Paul writing? So Paul says, even though you are mature, even though you're doing everything right, he says, I have written very boldly to you on some points. So as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God. Do we sometimes think as believers that we know and understand everything there is to know about the Bible? I mean, Bob's shaking his head. I mean, I've been in church, from the Sunday after my mom brought me home from the hospital. I grew up in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night. Christian school. Apprenticeship with the pastor of my old church weekly. Being a pastor. I mean, surely I know everything, don't I? I mean, that's what you expect of me, to know everything there is. But every single one of us needs to realize there's more to learn. And there's stuff that we've already learned that needs to be reinforced. I mean, that whole, thou shalt not bear false witness stuff. I mean, I've known that since Sunday school in second grade. Don't lie. Well, why do I still find myself lying at times? Oh, it's just a little white lie. It's a lie. So we all need reinforcement. And that's what Paul's trying to do. And possibly even here, teaching them some new things that maybe they didn't know. So I've written very boldly to you on some points as to remind you again. And guys, when we are speaking from the Word of God, there's no reason for us to be fearful or to cower in it. I mean, the Word of God, we need to speak boldly. And I'm going to temper that with, we need to speak it lovingly. Because again, we can... How many of you been to a big city or even Canton on special events? And you got the guys standing on the soapboxes, yelling and screaming, street preaching. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that, absolutely. But if all you're doing is yelling and screaming, how much of that message did you guys listen to as you passed by? God's word is never going to go out empty. We know that. But we need to be very, very bold and very loving at the same time in proclaiming his word. So he does this. He speaks boldly to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God. So he's doing it because of what God has done for him. Just like we should be out proclaiming God's word because of what he's done for us. Verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that there, how Paul sees himself? Paul sees himself as a priest of Christ to the Gentiles, or for the Gentiles. And we might look back and we might kind of shrug our shoulders and say, and that's very presumptuous of Paul, thinking he's a priest. Well, he's not talking priest in the sense of the Old Testament priests. But in the book of Hebrews, it calls all of us who know Christ priests. And we're priests in what we do. Paul, in this instance, he is giving the gospel to the Gentiles. He is lifting the Gentiles. He's placing the Gentiles on the altar of God to bring up a sweet savor unto him. And we, at the same time, we can be priests of God. We are priests of God as we go out and proclaim the gospel message. Verse 17, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Isn't there another verse somewhere that says we shouldn't boast? Ephesians, maybe, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Okay, so Paul writes to the Ephesians, don't boast. He writes here to the Romans that he is boasting. Well, how can that be? What is he boasting of? He's boasting not of what he is doing, but he is boasting of what the Lord is doing. For the most part, I hate naming names of people who I don't see eye to eye with. I think he's dead now. I think I heard something last year. But our good friend and neighbor, Ernest Angley. Yeah, I think he's dead. Big church up in Akron. Prided himself in being a faith healer. You could watch him on TV with the lines of people. Who is getting the glory? Okay. Seems like every year I passed his church, it started out as Grace Cathedral. Then at some point it became Ernest Angley's Grace Cathedral. And then it seemed like every year or so his name on that sign would get bigger and bigger. Brian's nodding. You work up that way. Am I being false? So where was the glory going? Who was... Number one, if there was any healing going on, it was God doing the healing. But you wouldn't be able to tell that from the shenanigans that was... So Paul's not boasting in, if any man had a right to boast, it was probably Paul. He really did. I mean, he is what we would call... Me and Brandon talk about this with people we work with. Paul was the epitome of a hard gospel worker. Okay, he was the example that we all want to follow outside of Christ. but he wasn't looking to build himself up. Paul didn't go from city to city with big banners saying, "Here comes Paul." No. He went in proclaiming the gospel of Christ and letting Christ's message do the work. Verse 19. "For I would not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentile by word and deed." So did you catch that? "I would not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." So, as again, the glory is not staying with Paul. The glory is going out to Christ. And what was happening amongst the Gentiles? Verse 19. "In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." The results that the Holy Spirit was performing from church to church were the same results that he was performing from church to church. Okay? What was happening in the church of Rome was not different than was happening in the church at Jerusalem or the church at Ephesus or the church at Colossae. The Holy Spirit was working the same way in all these people, bringing unto himself his children. And Paul had a part in that. But Paul's part was just a mouthpiece. And it was the Holy Spirit that was doing the work. Insomuch that look what he says in verse 20. "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation." Paul had within himself the desire, the aspiration, to do what each and every one of us who know God should do, to proclaim the gospel. And Paul was kind of different, set apart in his role. Because there's some people who plant, there's some people who water, but again, God gives the increase. And Paul is saying, "I want to be a planter. I want to go around to as many Gentiles as I can find and plant the Word of God." He didn't want to go around and take over where somebody else has already started. He didn't want to go push Peter out of the way. Say, "Oh, look, guys, you know, Peter's a good guy and all, but, you know, I saw Christ out in the wilderness. 3 years he ministered to me. Let me take over here." That wasn't Paul's desire. Paul wanted to plant the gospel and then leave room for others to come behind him to water and to nurture and to watch as the Holy Spirit grew it. We're in a country that up until about 20 years ago was a country that was full of people that had the seed planted. I mean, growing up, everybody was a Christian. Most everybody went to a church somewhere, even if it was just on Christmas and Easter. But they all claim that. Today that's not so. I mean, we used to have to go overseas. We used to have to go to Africa and the Middle East to plant seeds. Now we've got a country full of people, some of who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That is a task that we so many times stick our head into the sand about. Oh, I'm just not sure of what to say. I just don't know enough about the Bible to be effective. Somebody else will come along. Well, if everybody had that attitude, if nobody was willing to go out and proclaim the gospel, then how will the gospel ever be preached? I mean, many of us in this room, we wish to see our country go in a different direction. We think that the way to make that happen is to get everybody stirred up to vote a certain way. What if we spent all that time that we're trying to get people to see eye to eye with us politically? What if we spent that time explaining to them their need of Jesus Christ? Politics won't change hearts. Only Christ can do that. I mean, you see, Paul saw himself as a priest. He saw himself as a minister. And he saw himself as a missionary. That's how Paul described himself. That's why Paul says he had the right to write everything in this letter thus far. And we spent some time yesterday talking about a ministering spirit. You know, our role as men of God in ministering. And I'm not talking minister with a title. I'm talking about daily ministering to other people. I mean, as we minister, we can lift these people up as their priest. We can proclaim the gospel as their missionary. Now, that's why the church is so important. The church is very much important to those that attend. You know, the called of God that have been brought together. It's also very important to the rest of the world as we reach out to them, ministering them to them in ways that are meeting their needs and giving us ample opportunity to give them the gospel. I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be something as easy as being at a restaurant, coming in contact with somebody who maybe asks you a question, or maybe they just bump into you by mistake. And you turn and you smile, and maybe you say, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And maybe they'll answer, "Yes, I do," as they try to scurry away. As they grab their collar and pull them back. No, just kidding. But that opens a door. It opens a door for conversation. I mean, we need to know Christ, first of all. And then, like Paul, we need to make Him known. Verse 21, Paul says, "You know, I have biblical backing for everything that I've said so far." It says, "As it is written, they who had no news of Him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand." Paul took this to mean the Gentiles. The Gentiles did not grow up with the law of God like the Jews did. The Gentiles had no way to ignore the truth of God like the Jews did. The only thing that the Gentiles had was their knowledge of God as somebody that created everything that there was. And Paul is coming behind to explain how all that happened, where it came from, who created it, why he created it. The Church of Rome was doing a good job. I believe Grace Bible Fellowship here in Dover is doing a good job. But the church at Rome could do better. And our church in Dover can do better. We need to realize that we have the answer. I mean, I think of people who are in turmoil, going through things that maybe I don't even understand because I haven't gone through that. But I do know they don't need to go through it alone. I do know that nothing's happened in my life. Nothing has happened in my life that God has not known about and probably not orchestrated. Even those rough times, even the loss of a grandchild some 10 years ago, that did not take God by surprise. And my son and daughter-in-law, even though it was hard, even though it's still hard some 10 years later, I know in God's plan, they are the better for it. There's going to be things that happen to us in this life that we're not going to understand. We're not going to understand until that day we close our eyes on this side and open them up on the next. But I can guarantee you, no matter what, that when we see God face to face, everything will make sense. Sometimes we get mad at God. God, why did this have to happen? There's a reason. A reason that we may not understand. But God's not saying, don't be mad at me. He's saying, trust me. Can we trust God? Paul did. Paul did as a priest, as a minister, as a missionary. May we follow in his footsteps. Father, I thank you for this time that we could gather. Father, I pray that the truth of your word was presented this morning in clarity, in boldness, and in truth. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing within this church, within its people. Make us more like you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.